And glorious is this day that the Lord has given us. Certainly, we thank him for navigating our niches and allowing us the privilege of being participatory in this place. It's good to be alive. Amen. Amen. It's good to be active, and it's good to be alert. It is in the Lord Jesus Christ we live, move, and have our being. I'm just excited and elated to have this opportunity. I don't take it lightly when God graces us to come into the house of God and share his word. His word is a lamp unto our feet and a light unto our pathway. And certainly in a time of darkness, we need light. Amen. So we thank him for the privilege of being present and the privilege of teaching and receiving his holy word. It's so good to see you and be seen by you. It's so good for us to come together. Amen. Psalms 25. Thank you, Deacon McLean, for the devotion. And thank you for your participation in devotion. Psalm 25, our preparatory verse, and then we'll turn to Matthew's 24. Matthew 24 after Psalm 25. If you have Psalm 25, say amen. Amen. It says, unto thee, O Lord, do I lift up my soul. O my God, I trust in thee. Let me not be ashamed. Let not mine enemies triumph over me. Yea, let none that wait on thee be ashamed. Let them be ashamed which transgress without cause. Show me thy ways, O Lord. Teach me thy paths. Lead me in thy truth and teach me. For thou art the God of my salvation. On thee do I wait all the day. Amen. That prepare us for the reception of God's holy word. Matthew 24. And let's look at verses 27 through 35. If you have it, say amen. Amen. For as the lightning cometh out of the east and shineth even unto the west, so shall also the coming of the Son of Man be. For wheresoever the carcass is, there will the eagles be gathered together. Immediately after the tribulation of those days shall the sun be darkened, and the moon shall not give her light, and the stars shall fall from heaven, and the powers of the heavens shall be shaken. And then shall appear the sign of the Son of Man in heaven. And then shall all the tribes of the earth mourn, and they shall see the Son of Man coming in the clouds of heaven with power and great glory. And he shall send his angels with a great sound of a trumpet, and they shall gather together his elect from the four winds, from one end of heaven to the other. Now learn a parable of the fig tree. When his branches is yet tender and put it forth leaves, ye know that summer is nigh. So likewise, ye, when ye shall see all these things, know that it is near, even at the door. Verily I say unto you, this generation shall not pass till all these things be fulfilled. heaven and earth shall pass away, but my word shall not pass away. That's the word of the Lord for the people of God. The word is blessed. May we be blessed by being hearers and doers of his holy and divine word. We're talking about the second coming of Jesus Christ. The second coming of Jesus Christ. Matthew chapter 24, verse 3, the disciples asked Jesus questions concerning signs of his coming and the end of the age. Therefore, Jesus shared with them what will happen pre-tribulation, what will happen during the tribulation, what will happen to all who accept him during the tribulation, and what will happen after the tribulation. 4 weeks ago, we glimpsed some signs of the end of the age. Jesus said, there will be wars and rumors of wars, earthquakes and famines. But Jesus also said that these are the beginning of sorrows, the beginning of sorrows, and the end is not yet. Beginning of sorrows, but the end is not yet. Now, the sorrows in the original language means birth pains, the pain in childbirth. The birth pain speaks of the frequency and the intensity. As a woman nears birth, the pains become more frequent and intense. This is true also for the signs of the end of the age. Wars and rumors of wars, famines, earthquakes happened before and after Jesus' day, but the end was not yet because this was only the beginning of sorrows. Let me hear you say beginning of sorrows. Throughout history, we have seen the pains become more frequent and intense. The pains are so frequent and intense that we must be right at the time of Jesus' return to rapture the church. Remember now that the second coming, which is mentioned in the text, and the rapture of the church are two different events. That the church will be raptured before the great tribulation. And the second coming of Christ, according to Jesus' teaching here, from a Jewish perspective, will happen after the great tribulation. So we are right at that point. We are right at the appropriate time, place where Jesus Christ can come at any time and rapture the church. The pains are frequent and intense. So the rapture of the church, again, will happen before the great tribulation. So we are right at that point. It can happen at any moment, at any time. That's why we are informed as to what will happen after the rapture of the church, because we don't want to be left behind. We don't want to find ourselves, nor do we want to find or see our loved ones or suffer the thought of our loved ones being left behind to deal with, to suffer from the great tribulation. I said a few weeks ago, times are rough and times are bad. Times are tough. And sinful and dark. And whatever you think about the time now is going to be a million times worse. So we are at that point where the church can be raptured at any moment. Therefore, we need to get in a hurry. We need to be diligent. We need to be dutiful and determined to share the word of Christ with as many as we can in hopes of them being saved, because we are at that point where the rapture of the church can take place at any moment. He gives several signs. He gives natural signs and spiritual signs, technological signs in this particular verse. The signs of the coming in of the age are heavy persecution, rise of the false Christ, rise of false prophets, apostasy of universal preaching of the gospel, and the abomination of desolation. Verse 15 says, therefore, when you see the abomination of desolation spoken of by Daniel the prophet standing in the holy place, this is a cryptogram to be solved. And Jesus, he tells the disciples to the book to turn to solve the cryptogram. Notice he references Daniel, who mentions the abomination of desolation in Daniel chapter 9 verse 27, Daniel chapter 11 verse 31, and Daniel 12 verse 11. When the abomination of desolation happens, residents in Judah should flee and seek cover without delay. Now, that's in Matthew chapter 24, verses 16 through 20. He says, if you're on the housetop, you don't have time to come down and get your belongings out in the house. You need to flee in a hurry. He even said the times would be so hard and tough and trying that women who are pregnant won't be able to flee fast enough from the Antichrist and the spirit that will persuade and be pervasive at that particular time. That's why he says that he hoped that they don't be with child, because they can't run fast enough to get away from that diabolical spirit of the Antichrist. When the abomination of desolation happens, it will be in the tribulation. Get this. It will be in the tribulation. Therefore, he deals with the great tribulation as a period of suffering sent from God upon the earth to accomplish his purpose. The great tribulation is more descriptive in Revelation chapters 6 through chapter 19. Through chapter 15. So Revelation 6 through Revelation 15. So notice the breakdown of the great tribulation. You have the seal judgments in Revelation 6 verses 1 through chapter 8 verse 5. You have the trumpet judgment in Revelation chapter 8 verse chapter 8 through chapter 11. You have the bowl judgment from Revelation 11 to Revelation chapter 15 verse 8. So you have the breakdown of the great tribulation as God will pour out his wrath upon the earth. It'll start with the seals, and then the seals will go into the trumpets, and then the trumpets will go into the bowls. And if you have read Revelation chapter 6 through chapter 15, you understand how terrible of a time it will be for the inhabitants on earth. He will pour out his wrath. Judgment will be put down so that it will put down the rebellion of mankind in preparation of Christ's reign. Now, one thing or one type person that will not be in the presence of Christ at his eternal reign is rebellion or rebellious people. He will put down the rebellion of mankind in preparation for Christ's reign. So during the great tribulation, the nation of Israel will know Jesus Christ as Lord, capital L, capital O, capital R, capital D, meaning that he is God, Yahweh, uncaused and unchanging. They will know that Jesus Christ is Lord. The great tribulation will chasten the nation of Israel, according to Jeremiah chapter 30, verse 22. The great tribulation will purge out rebels from the elect, Ecclesiastes. Now, Ezekiel chapter 20, verses 33 through 38. Notice, if you will, in verses 29 through 30, after the tribulation, the sun will be darkened, the moon will not give her light, and the stars will be fallen from heaven, and the powers that are in the heavens will be shaken. And then they will see the Son of Man coming in clouds with great power and glory. And then he will send forth the angels and will gather together his elect from the four winds, from the farthest end of the earth to the farthest end of heaven. So you see, before the second coming of Christ, there will be a cosmic disturbance. Cosmic disturbance, cataclysmic change, no sunshine, no moonlight, no stars twinkling on the black canvas of the night. Total darkness will encompass the entire earth. The darkness will bring gloom on the inhabitants of the earth. Not only will there be total darkness, also the powers of heaven will be shaken. It's like the time when Jesus was crucified that the powers were shaken. The Bible says that the veil in the temple was rent from top to bottom. The powers were shaken. The earth reeled and rocked, so much so that a centurion said that he must be the Son of God. Just like the centurion said, then people will say the same of Christ at his second coming, because there will be a cosmic disturbance, cataclysmic change. Now, this is not the only mentioning of the cosmic disturbance in Matthew chapter 24, or the cataclysmic change. We also see it in Joel chapter 2, verses 30 and 31. And I will show wonders in the heavens and in the earth, blood and fire and pillars of smoke. The sun shall be turned into darkness and the moon into blood before the coming of the great and awesome day of the Lord. It is again Lord, L-O-R-D, capital all caps, meaning the Lord Yahweh, the Lord God. Jesus Christ is coming. Not only do we see it in Joel, but we also see it in Acts chapter 2, verses 19 and 20. I will show wonders in the heavens above and signs in the earth beneath, blood and fire and vapor of smoke. The sun shall be turned into darkness and the moon into blood before the coming of the great and awesome day of the Lord. A cosmic disturbance. Cataclysmic change. That there would be total darkness before the second coming of Jesus Christ. Now, at his second coming, we see the clue. We see the clue of his coming. Verse 30, a clause says, the Son of Man will appear in the heavens. Clue. The Son of Man will appear in the heavens. There will be a visible sign of his coming. The tribes of the earth will see the sign of Christ in heaven. It will not be a private, hid, undisclosed occasion. It will be public. It will be a public seen sign at his second coming. Now, notice at his coming, there will be grief-stricken men. There will be grief-stricken men. The word mourn Kopto in Greek means to cut or beat. It means to smite. It denotes beating the breast or head as a token of grief. This type of grief is more intense than weeping. In other words, there would be more than tears coming from the eyes. There will be people who will be literally beating themselves and cutting themselves because of grief. They won't be happy and joyous at his return. They will be stricken with grief because of their rejection of Jesus Christ as the Messiah. Now, all who reject the Lord Jesus Christ, whether they be dead or alive, will suffer the judgment of God because of their rejection of his son, Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ is the only way to be saved. He's the only way unto the Father. He's the only one who can give you eternal life. If you reject Jesus, you reject life. If you reject Jesus, you set yourself up for the judgment of God, the eternal judgment of God, because the rapture is the judgment of God, but then there's eternal judgment of God. They will be grief-stricken men because of their rejection of Jesus Christ as God's Son, as Lord and Savior. Notice he's speaking futuristic. He's speaking of a time to come. Amen. So he's speaking of those of every age who crucify the Son of God afresh. So this is a time of judgment. And this time of judgment is coming upon all who reject Jesus Christ as Lord. Particularly in this text, is speaking of those who will reject at his coming, who will see Jesus coming to earth. They will experience the wrath of God. Revelation 1:7, behold, he is coming with clouds, and every eye will see him, even them who pierced him. And all the tribes of the earth will mourn because of him. Even so, amen. Zechariah 12, verses 11 and 12. In that day, there shall be a great mourning in Jerusalem, like the mourning of Hadad-Ram in the plains of Megiddo. And the land shall mourn every family by itself, and the family of the house of David by itself, and their wives by themselves, and the family of the house of Nathan by itself, and their wives by themselves. In other words, everyone who rejects will mourn. Now, this is something no one will be able to take on and endure for another. See, salvation is personal. Judgment is too. You won't be sentenced to eternal judgment because of what someone else does. Or because of what someone else believes. You won't be sent to eternal judgment because of your children. Your children's children. Your sister, your brother, your mom, dad, your uncle, aunt, your friends. If you refuse Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior, you will deal with eternal judgment because of your own refusal of Jesus as Lord and Savior. Let's look at a familiar passage while I'm there. Let's go to John chapter 3. And we love John 3:16, but we don't quote much 17 and 18. But let's look at John chapter 3, verse 16, 17, and 18. Well, let's look at 19 too. Let's look at 22 and 21. Are y'all there with me? For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believes in him should not perish but have everlasting life. For God sent not his son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. He that believes on him is not condemned, but he that believes not is condemned already, because he hath not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. And this is the condemnation, that light is come into the world, and men loved darkness rather than light, because their deeds were evil. For everyone that doeth evil hateth the light, neither cometh to the light, lest his deeds should be reproved. But he that does truth cometh to the light, that his deeds may be manifest, that they are wroth in God. He's talking about personal belief. Personal belief. Personal belief, not someone else's belief, but personal belief, that you believe in Jesus Christ for yourself. That you can't borrow faith, you can't borrow belief. You have to believe in the Lord Jesus Christ for yourself. There will be great grief, grief-stricken men at his second coming, but in the same coming of Christ, there will be the great glory of Christ. Hallelujah. Notice the end of verse 30. The C clause says, Christ will come in great glory. Christ will come in the midst of glory. Christ is the Shekinah glory in the flesh, and he will come in unparalleled glory. You remember in Matthew 17 when Peter, James, and John went up the mountain with him when he was transfigured? His glory shined through his countenance. It was such a marvelous and magnificent occasion that Peter said after waking from sleep, Lord, it is good for us to be here. Let us build three tabernacles, one for you, one for Elijah, and one for Moses. And then God spoke out of heaven and said, this is my beloved son, hear ye him. The only one who was radiant in glory was Jesus Christ. Because he's unparalleled in glory. You don't get glory from Moses. You don't get glory from Elijah. You don't get glory from anyone in the Bible except Jesus the Christ. And he has glory now, and he will have glory then. And when he comes back, he will be in glory. Unparalleled glory. Matthew 16:27 says, the Son of Man shall come in the glory of his Father with his angels, and then he shall reward every man according to his works. He's coming in glory. He will be seen. It will be marvelous. But unfortunately for some, it will be a time of grief because of their rejection of Jesus Christ. But for those who receive him in the great tribulation, for the elect, the remnant, those of Israel, the Jews who will receive him in tribulation, they will be expecting his glory. They will see his glory and they will praise him in his glory. Isn't it something how one occasion can merit two responses? That causes grief and pain for some, ignites in praise and worship for others, that he's coming in his glory. We see the coming of the Lord, the clue of his coming. Then we see the collecting at his coming, the collecting at his coming. He's going to come and gather. I want you to write that on your sheet. The collecting at his coming. Verse 31 says the angels will be sent forth with a mighty trumpet blast to gather the people of Israel from the farthest ends of the earth and heaven. They will be sent together. Now, verse 31 is not speaking of the same event that is mentioned in 1 Corinthians 15, verse 52, and 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verses 16 and 17. Because 1 Corinthians 15 and 1 Thessalonians chapter 4 speaks of the rapture of the church. That's the rapture of the church. But here, it's speaking of Christ's second coming to judge the inhabitants of the earth. Now, notice they are similar, but not the same. Similar, but not the same. One is church rapture. The church is already raptured in Matthew chapter 24 because this is a Jewish context. Already gone. So he's now coming back for judgment and to gather together the elect. He's gathering together the elect from all over the earth. The elect refers to the people of Israel who will become believers in the Lord during the 7-year tribulation. Did y'all get it? The elect refers to the people of Israel who will become believers in the Lord during the 7-year tribulation period. Let me give you two scriptures. Isaiah 45, verse 4. Turn with me, matter of fact, to Isaiah 45, verse 4. Let me prove my posture. Isaiah 45, verse 4. I want you to get this. So the elect in Matthew 24, verse 31, deals with Israel, the Jews who will be saved or become believers in the Lord during the 7-year tribulation period. Isaiah 45, verse 4, for Jacob my servant's sake and Israel mine elect. I have even called thee by thy name. I have surnamed thee, though thou hast not known me. He calls Israel his elect. Here's another one. Flip back just a few chapters to Isaiah 27, verses 12 and 13. And it shall come to pass in the day that the Lord will thresh from the channel of the river of the brook of Egypt, and you will be gathered one by one, O you children of Israel. So it shall be in that day, the great trumpet will be blown. They will come who are about to perish in the land of Assyria, and they who are outcast in the land of Egypt, and shall worship the Lord in the holy mount at Jerusalem. So the elect here is Israel, the Jews, the chosen of God, those he favored. So at the last, at his second coming, he's going to gather all of his elect, all Jews from across the earth, from the four winds, and gather them unto himself. Now, God promised in the end time that he will regather his scattered people, Israel, from many different places around the earth. Now, I want you to write Romans chapter 11. Romans chapter 11. And I want you to read Romans chapter 11 when you get home. Not when you get time, but when you get home. Make some time. Now, here's the picture that it paints. It paints a picture of Jesus' ministry. Because Christ came to reconcile mankind to God. He is shepherd that gathers people under the rulership of God. So, He's gathering now during the church age. You see his ministry that he's gathering now. He's gathering people of all nations now. He's gathering people of all nations now unto God. That's his ministry. That he did not come to condemn, but he came that through him the world, those of the world, the inhabitants of earth, might be saved. He's going to come again after tribulation and gather those who will receive him as Lord and Savior. He's going to gather the elect. Here's the last thing, and I'm done. The cause of Christ's return. Here you see in verses 32 through 35 the certainty of the end. You see the certainty of the end, that it's coming to an end. The word of Christ shall stand. The certainty. So the cause, he came to reveal unto us the certainty of the end. He came for the rebirth of Israel. Now remember in Romans chapter 11, you know, Israel had been cut off, but they are going to be grafted back in. So now you see the rebirth. Notice he speaks a parable and he tells us to learn a lesson from the parable. He's talking about a sprouting fig tree in the parable. And as seasons change, the fig tree changes in appearance and condition. And he tells us to learn a lesson from the fig tree. As sure as buds and leaves prove the coming of summer, also is the fulfillment of the signs mentioned in verses 15 through 22. They prove the coming of Jesus Christ. The subject is the coming of Christ. The coming of Christ. Just as you can look at a tree and see the sprouts, knowing that summer is approaching, you can look at the signs that he has shared and know that he's coming.
Amen.
So the inhabitants of the earth will know Jesus Christ is near on the very threshold, because he's talking about being in the door. He's near. He's ahead. He has arrived. They will know. Now, again, we're talking about being raptured, and we are instructed to be ready. We're instructed to be ready. You need to be ready when he comes. You need to be ready. You need to have light in your lamps, oil in your lamps for proper lighting. You need to make sure you're a sheep and not a goat. You need to make sure you're wheat and not tares.
Amen.
Because you don't want to be on the wrong side of him now when he comes. You know, at rapture, you don't want to be on the wrong side now. You want to be on the right side. So we're warned. All of what Christ shares with us in his word will come to pass. Here's the last of it. Notice who will experience. He's talking about this generation in verse 34. Now, he's not talking about this generation. He's referring to the existing Jews at that time. He's pointing forward. Existing Jews at that time. When all these things be. And then here's lastly, he gives the permanence of his word. Verse 35. He says, heaven and earth will pass away, but the word of Christ have validity, vitality, and endurance. Let me say that again. Heaven and earth will pass away, but the words of Christ have validity, vitality, and endurance. The word of God, the words of Christ, stands forever. Listen, if you're going to build your life on anything, you need to build your life on the word of God.
Amen.
Listen, if you're going to build your life, you don't need to build your life on sinking sand. You don't need to build your life on shifty ground. You need to build your life on the word of God.
Amen.
Go with me, if you will, to Isaiah 40, verse 8. Isaiah 40, verse 8. And then we'll go to Isaiah 55, verses 10 and 11, and we're done. We're dealing with the permanence of the word of God, the permanence of the word of Christ. It says in Isaiah 40, verse 8, the grass withers and the flowers fade, but the word of our God stands forever.
Amen.
Now, Isaiah 55, verses 10 and 11. It says, as the rain and the snow come down from heaven and do not return to it without watering the earth and maketh it bud and flourish, so that it yields seed for the sower and bread for the eater, so is my word that goes out from my mouth. It will not return to me empty, but will accomplish what I desire and achieve the purpose for which I send it. Amen. The word is permanent. It doesn't change. And regardless of how people today say, well, we need a new Bible. You don't need a new Bible. You just need to discover the old word. Because his word is eternal. His word lasts forever, stands forever. All right. Are there any prayer requests, sister? All right, sister Threets. Lost her daughter on when?
Yesterday.
On yesterday. All right. All right, auntie and grandmother. All right, auntie, grandmama, and auntie's daughter. All right. Prayer requests. Yes, ma'am. You said brother and sister-in-law. Okay. Okay, Logan. All right. In the hospital. All right. Barbara Rayner in Montgomery. All right. Stella Harris. Okay, Mom, Dorothy Rudolph. All right, Stella Harris and her family at the passing of her daughter. Her sister, Bronzella Kidd, recovering from surgery. Sister Gloria Mormon. Ma'am. Amen. Sister Gloria Mormon, I see you, St. Vincent. Sister Tyus. Okay, Bonetta Tyus. Our funeralized brother on yesterday. All right. Say that again. Brother Yabro. All right, COVID. Alfonso Jackson, brother-in-law. All right. Anyone else? Sister Hattie French. Amen. Sister Hattie French, UAB Bessemer. All right. Sister Deborah Stewart, all right. Say that again. Ruffin, amen. Amen, the Ruffin family. I think funeral will be Saturday. Lily Chrome at UAB, all right. Patrice Gunn, Patrice Don, passing of a mother. Amen. I want you to know the Lord hear you now. As we're calling out the names, he's hearing you. Come on, sister, as we gather in circle, lead us in song. In prayer.
Dear gracious Heavenly Father, we just come to say thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you for life. Thank you for this day and all that has been brought throughout this day.
Yes, Lord.
We thank you for your holy word that was taught today. We took it into our hearts and that we won't sin against you. Gracious Heavenly Father, we remembering all those names and people,
yes,
that is sick and in the hospitals at home, all the bereaved families. We lift them up before your throne of grace. Gracious Heavenly Father, we just love you. We adore you. We lift you up. We praise your holy name. This prayer we ask in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Thank you. Thank you, Mr.
Ray.
Giving us a feast.